It's Friday, January 3rd, 2020. Once again, that's January 3rd, 2020. It's about 9:35 in the morning. So, I wanted to make a few quick notes, and I'm sure they're going to be a little scattered or rambling. Because I've just been kind of looking over and trying to fathom kind of like a bookend to a previous note, audio note that I had taken years ago. And I remember in that initial audio note, I had said that if there was one thing, one concept that I could share with others and they fathom the depth of the meaning of the concept, it would be the bridge function. Now, at that time, the bridge function, the primary meanings that I was attempting to point to and indicate had to do with first off, the bridge function of bridging possibility to probability. And I had said that all human potential or all human possibilities converge to the point that was or is the individual. And then all human probabilities emerge from a point that is the individual. I talked about the acting captain, about acting captain, you have the bridge. It's a position of command. And I talked about those under one's direction or also under one's protection. A lot of people get about, you know, the concept of being able to direct or boss people around, but they don't put very much focus or emphasis on the fact that those under one's direction are also under one's protection, and that individuals are the greatest asset or resource that anyone can put to any project or any task. And I think that's just another thing that oftentimes goes either unrecognized or underappreciated, and therefore undervalued. Also, the bridge function, I came up with the phrase, the essence of being is becoming. And I, you know, talked about none of us are born firefighters or presidents or nurses or engineers or fathers or friends. These are all roles that we adopt. And, you know, we project ourselves into. And some of that is even related to the conditional array, that each of these outcomes or resultants that we wish to render, there are certain conditions that must be satisfied in order to render that outcome or that resultant. So at that time, that's just to name a few of the aspects of the concept of the bridge function. However, later, as I further, as my awakening awareness and my and therefore the resulting expanded consciousness continued, I started to realize that, well, it was the teleological purpose of existence, and that was materialized creative consciousness. I've come to view consciousness as, well, I'm going to cover just the very basics of this to lead into what I wanted to reveal or memorialize about the further meanings that have been attached to this concept called the bridge function. So consciousness existed. It was in a state of being, and I talk about the best way I can understand it, it's kind of like a carrier, which is related to field effects or field effect. I read something one time, and of course I'm not a physicist, so I'm just going by these summaries, that these conceptual summaries that I read, that a field, oftentimes it's not detectable until it acts on something, until it influences something. And so before you see that influence, you may not be aware that it exists, and you may not understand any of its properties or characteristics. So to me, pure consciousness with infinite potential was in a state of rest. And the best way I could conceive of this was, and I'm drawing a little bit from some other sources of lectures and papers that I've read, that in this state of pure potential, in this state of being at rest, consciousness was, you could say it was like slumbering, meaning, and the main meaning I attached to that was it was not self-aware. And so what I suspect is that what we refer to as the Big Bang, at that instant that consciousness became self-aware, it became fully aware. Being in a state of pure potential, there was no obstacles or hindrance, impediments to consciousness becoming infinitely self-aware in an instant. And part of what it became aware of was that it could express itself, it could create. And what we call or tag, label our universe was part, at least part, of that expression. And so to me, the teleological purpose, so this comes back to very, very early notes. Consciousness became aware that it existed and that it could create. But it wanted to, and this is kind of really going out on a limb, so to speak, but I think it was curious about its own nature. It's like existing but not having a mirror in order to see itself, to see ourself. And I termed this very early in my notes, radiant reflector. So its state of being a radiant, a source, was one side of this creative relationship, so that when it modulated the carrier, and that's how I look at, that's how I best come to understand what this state of existence is. When it impressed intelligence upon the carrier, that is consciousness, the universe came into being. It was a change of states. And that's part of what I believe some of what I learned from the work of the laws of form. It crossed over. It was a, and so the real crux of the notes that I'm taking now is about boundary conditions. So I guess there's kind of two ways that I, you know, to make things as simple as I could for myself and for making these notes. there was kind of two ways that I felt I could look at this. One was that when consciousness chose to express itself, to modulate the carrier and render the universe as we know it, there was kind of two ways I could look at it. One was, to borrow a phrase from, I think it's from astronomy, they talk about the Goldilocks zone. Goldilocks being the story that talked about, one porridge was too hot, the other porridge was too cold. I think there's also some lines in there about their beds. One bed was too hard, the other bed was too soft. And Goldilocks was seeking the porridge that was just the right temperature for Goldilocks to eat, and the bed that was just right for Goldilocks to find comfort and thereby sleep in the bed that was most suited to her. So astronomers talk about the Goldilocks zone, which the Earth falls in that zone, where depending upon the type of sun, the distance from that sun where liquid water can exist. And as I said, of course, Earth falls in that Goldilocks zone. So I kind of adopted that concept for my purposes, but instead of calling it Goldilocks zone, I call it Goldilocks conditions. These are the boundary conditions that came into being at that instant of expression, of creative expression, of modulation of the carrier, of intelligence being modulated upon the carrier of consciousness. So the two paths that I kind of saw there was, one was these constants, the laws of nature that were somewhat, I guess I could say it was like the recipe. It was like the laws of nature and the constants that would permit or allow materialized creative consciousness. In other words, that would allow life to emerge within that creation, within that expression. So the two sides of the coin that I kind of narrowed the scope down to was, if we look at the universe, if we choose to view the universe as a singularity, then we can, from that position, venture to say that it's a singular entity. It's a singular expression. And so that would mean that consciousness was aware of these Goldilocks conditions, these boundary conditions that would allow life to emerge within the universe. So that's one way of looking at it. The other way to look at it, in my estimate, is to from the concept of the multiverse, meaning this is but one set of parameters, one set of boundary conditions that could be expressed in that creative process, and so that we would represent just one expression and part and parcel with that, one set of the laws of nature, of the constants. It's kind of like the recipe for allowing or promoting the emergence of life, of materialized creative consciousness, because that to me is the purpose. But it may not be the only way, the only set of boundary conditions that could possibly promote the emergence of life. And that's where we come to the concept of the multiverse. Now, one of the things I came to over time was that, this is borrowing from an episode of Star Trek. So the character asks, okay, I'm on a ship in interstellar space. What kind of ship is it? And the answer to the character is, it's a ship of exploration. And then the character says, I'm an explorer. And then the complimentary character comments, we all are. So if I look at, if I choose that perspective in view of the concept of the multiverse, then what strikes me is, if I view consciousness, the singularity of infinity of consciousness and all possibilities being available to consciousness to create, then if I choose in the spirit of the explorer, it would lend me or tend me towards the inclination of multiverse, meaning as in the spirit of exploration, would consciousness wish to explore all possibilities? And that's kind of where that leaves me. I think the answer would be yes. So depending upon which of those two paths one would choose in their view of creation, either the monolithic or singularity of one expression of creation, which would be our universe, or the multiverse of exploring all possible paths or all possible boundary conditions of expression, of creation, that would permit or allow the emergence of life, or I should say of intelligent life that would have the potential of becoming a vessel for the highest forms of exalted consciousness. Because in the end, I believe, again, that the purpose, the teleological purpose of creation is materialized creative consciousness. So in the end, what I'm really saying is the bridge that consciousness chose to build was a bridge that would allow consciousness, pure consciousness, pure exalted, fully aware, fully awakened consciousness, a bridge that would allow consciousness, a vessel to become a proper soul, to wake up in materialized form, to be in the material world, to be present, fully present, as a fully awakened consciousness in the material world. Boy, I know that's a big leap there, but I think in the end, that really is the fundamental of the bridge function. And that's kind of why I wanted to cover where I started with it and then bring it to this point where it's kind of like the bookend. I started with the bookend of what it meant for the human, you know, for human existence. You know, that was sort of the first thing I started to fathom. But now I've come full circle, so to speak, and brought this other bookend into play where it's for the purpose of consciousness, a bridge for consciousness to exist in a materialized form. Yeah, it was something that really, when I was leading up to and how can I say this, when I was fathoming and exploring the different meanings that of our existence and the source of that existence, I was trying to understand the purpose of singularity, of the singularity expressing through creativity. And of course, that's, you know, early on I had the note about radiant reflector, about a mirror. It's like if it wanted to know its own nature and it wanted to explore its own nature. I think that's really the better word, about exploring all possibilities of its nature and also all possibilities of creative expression and also all possibilities of experience, then that would it would be easy to understand what the motive and the value behind through creation, you know, through creation of the universe or a universe, meaning our universe and possibly multiple other universes with their own boundary conditions. So anyway, I think that's pretty much all I wanted to get in this set of notes. Like I said, I kind of saw this as a bookend to my initial view of what I meant by the bridge function, the concept of the bridge function. And as far as I can tell, this kind of brings it full circle. This brings in the framework of the other bookend. So, signing off.